Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, March 26th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Yes, I am John. I am here.
Okay. He's fulfilled all of his requirements, so apparently while we wait for his program to finish building, I will introduce to you my other guest today, Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
I'm scared.
It's going to be that kind of show today, I think.
It is going to be that kind of show today.
It did escalate very quickly before we even started recording. So,
yeah. Oh, John, man, just dark.
So dark.
Dark, dude.
All right. Weirded him out in the pre-show, guys. That's what's happening here.
A lot. And remember that who he's talking about weirding out is me and Brian. Anyway.
Yeah, shake it off. All right.
Okay. Here we go. Let's talk about the aftermath of yesterday's event, and we're going to start specifically with the credit card information from Apple. And part of the reason that I'm interested in talking about that is because I feel a little bit like some of the stuff that they said on stage. This was pointed out by a few people. Some of the stuff that they said on stage was. It wasn't lying, but it was certainly portraying something in
the best
in
light.
Not quite like, the right light, I guess.
Like what?
Like saying it's a low interest rate, and the interest rate is 13. It did say on the slide, like low interest rate, and the interest rate, according to the fine print as of now, says that it will be between 13% and 24%, depending on credit worthiness.
And 13 for starters.
Uh huh. And
oh,
lots of.
My.
And it's a credit card, though. Those are standard rates. I mean, they actually go higher.
They're standard. They're not low.
But they're not low. That's true. I did not realize they had actually said the phrase low interest rate. What I focused on was Apple talking about giving us tools to better understand the interest we were paying and then giving us options on and methods to pay more to pay it down faster and reduce the amount of interest you're paying. That was the thing I focused on. But no, those aren't low interest.
Yeah, but that's not standard. That's prime plus about 3 or 4.
Just for a credit card.
Well, for a credit card, that's a normal that might be a
what are you paying
normal
on your credit
interest
card, John?
Well, last time I looked, I'm paying 8.
Well, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, you're way cooler than me, or alternately. Substantially less cool. I'm not really like I'm not sure what you have to do to
get. I could be wrong. I need to go back and check, but I don't. I've never paid 13. That would be usurious.
I've never paid less than 20, but my credit score is probably a lot lower than yours.
That should be against the law.
Anything my credit's good, but I don't.
Should be.
Yeah,
Consumer Finance Protection Bureau should step in and put a stop to that.
That's cute.
Yeah,
it's good to want things, John. that was one of the things that was a reaction. The thing that I did think that they are doing that is truly new and interesting is not the cashback, but the cashback every day. That's new.
If you buy something every day,
right. But I mean, if you have activity that day, as opposed to, you know, you get your credit card statement and your credit card statement has a line item where you've been given cashback, right? That's not what they're doing, and they're handing it to you. I don't know. I don't have a cashback card currently, so I don't really know how it works for people who do have them.
For most cards, so like I've got the Citi Double Cash card.
Okay.
Which until Apple's card was one of the best for making like all of your purchases. It's 1% at the time of purchase, and then 1% when you actually pay it back.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, for every dollar that you charge, you get 1% cash back. For every dollar you pay, you get another 1 penny.
Okay.
And
so how do you get that cash back? What's the mechanics of that? Do they just credit it to your account? Do you get a check? What?
You can choose how you get it. You have to actively get it. The Citibank gives you an interface. This is how most of the credit cards that I've ever worked with work. There's some kind of interface that says, this is how much you've got. What do you want to do with it?
Okay.
And give you a few options. You can get it as a check. You can get it as statement credit. You can get it deposited in your account usually.
Okay.
Now, that's for the cashback programs. For other kinds of reward programs, obviously it's going to work slightly differently.
Right. But I don't have one that does cash. Like, we have an Air Mile card, so I don't have a cash card. So that's why I was asking about specifically how you do that.
Yeah. Apple doing this on a daily basis. You can only do that basically after it's credited at some point at the, on a monthly basis.
Okay.
Apple doing it without you having to claim it is good for consumers. Right, because it means that your money is not sitting there unused by you, but being used by the credit card company or bank. Mm-hmm. And Apple doing it on a daily basis is also good, especially if you're actually going to do something like apply it directly to your credit card.
Mm-hmm. That was the thing that struck me during the presentation was that suddenly Apple exposed the practices of the banks that was kind of hypocritical, where you're going to get cash back, but here's the terms and conditions for that. Mm-hmm. And low annual interest rate or no little or no fees. And there's always some caveat. There's always some fine print in the banks that manages to make you want the card, but doesn't really help you financially. And Apple kind of just called them out on that in describing the features of the Apple card.
Well, and
yeah, sort of
a little. And but the other thing that they did point out, like they pointed out that this card is going to have tools for tracking spending and doing these sorts of things. And I think I asked you guys yesterday about how specifically other cards have done this, because like I don't have a card that does this, so I don't know how this part operates. But other cards, I think it was American Express was one that was mentioned, that their iOS app will do a similar thing for you. As far as like, here's what you've spent and here's how that compares to what you spent last month or whatever.
Let's get the feeling that these tools are tools for them as well to understand how you spend your money. Mm-hmm. As soon as you understand how you spend your money, they understand how you spend your money.
Right.
Well, no, they understand that anyway, John.
They already have all of the information about where I spent it.
Yeah. Credit cards have been doing what Facebook and Google are doing for decades.
Yes.
And
to various degrees, to be sure. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, in reality, so a lot of credit cards currently do that. Now, whether or not Apple has done it better remains to be seen. And whether or not it's prettier, easier to understand, easier to access, easier to, you know, to make actionable, that all remains to be seen. I suspect it will look better and probably be a little easier to understand. And then also the Apple showing you how much you're paying for credit is, how much you're paying for interest, I mean, is how much you're paying for credit is why can't I say this? How much you're paying in interest and how your choices affect how much you pay in interest. That is potentially information that can really help consumers, assuming they're willing to use it.
Right. Yeah, it's they're waiting for you, but
it's right there on the display of your phone.
Right.
It's right there inside the interface, whereas the amount of money you're paying on interest on your credit card loans is normally on a piece of paper that you tear off the coupon, you make your payment or however you make your payment, and then you throw that away or file it away somewhere, and it's all under the rug, so you don't really have a sense of how much you're spending on interest. And the credit card companies like that. That's just probably why they're doing things the way they do them now.
Yeah, generally, you don't spend a lot of time looking at what that number is or how it's being impacted. So I think that makes a big difference as well. And I'm going to be interested to see. So, John, are you going to apply for an Apple credit card?
Yeah, what I'm interested in is if you have a lock on your credit report, whether you can actually provide a PIN during the approval process. Mm-hmm. Something that came up yesterday was whether Apple is going to use the conventional credit agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion to approve you, or whether they're not, or they're going to go a different route.
I would bet $1 million that they, well, no, that's not true. I would not bet $1 million. Yeah. So, I would bet $257 that Apple will in fact use the,
so that all that
one of the traditional
gets credit funneled into the credit agencies and then of course gets leaked. So there's an avenue or a path for the compromise of your information.
Well, I was going to say they're not going to use Experian for that reason, probably, but
you mean Equifax?
Equifax. Yeah. I don't know. You know, the one that gave everybody all my information, that one.
That was Equifax. Yeah.
They're probably, I would like to think that they skipped that. Considering that, again, yesterday we heard quite a lot about what Apple isn't doing with your data and what Apple doesn't know about you. So I think it'll be interesting to see.
Apple doesn't know, but everybody else does.
Yeah. Brian, you going to get one?
It's built into the financial system.
Yes.
You're going to get one? Yeah.
Oh, am I going to get one? Yeah, almost assuredly I will apply for one simply to get 3% back on Apple purchases at the very least.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
And it's also super pretty, the physical card.
It is. Part of why I think I might want one is because I've never had a card that is handcrafted out of titanium. So
isn't that interesting? Apple has gone with Apple Wallet. You apply for the credit card over the internet. It's dropped into your wallet. Mm-hmm. But there is this counter meme of the gloriousness of a piece of titanium in your pocket. I find the contrast there between the two ideas interesting. Everything's electronic. Everything's in your wallet.
You're not everything. That's why Apple's going to hand me a slab of titanium.
We're trying to do driver's licenses and credit cards on our phones and get rid of our wallet. But Apple wants to put a piece of titanium in your pocket. Very interesting.
Dave made the point while we were watching the event that there are lots of places that don't do contactless payments yet.
Oh, of course.
Or never will.
Particularly here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where Apple is launching this thing. So right. Apple kind of needs that physical card.
Yeah, they don't have an option not to at this point, because there are still a lot of places where I have to use my actual slab of plastic. So,
and you only get 1% back when you use the physical card.
Mm-hmm.
So
it kind of behooves you to use Apple Pay where you can, you know. Yeah.
Yeah,
so certainly. We'll see how that goes. Once it's available and at least some of us apply for it, we will talk to you about it. We will show you the process and you will be able to read and hear more about it all here at Mac Observer.
One more point. You know how like Apple gives us all this information about our health?
Yep.
Through Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Through Apple Watch and the activity app on your iPhone.
Yes.
And it turns out, now this, I don't want to like lay too big a revelation on you, but it turns out just having that information doesn't make you healthier. You have to use it. Yeah, exactly. And the same thing is true with the financial information they're going to give you on your Apple Card use. You have to use that information to actually, you know,
inform decisions
to make better financial health decisions and actions. And so it'll be interesting to see, how the public reacts to this and how much the public actually cares.
I would like if there were a way to have some sort of aggregate data that shows how this is working. I don't know that there's any real opportunity to do that, but it would be nice to see, like, you know, amongst Apple credit card holders, like personal debt has decreased 8% or, you know, something like, just to see that kind of stuff would be kind of interesting if there were a way to make that possible. I don't know what that would be, but being able to see that statistic would be kind of nifty.
I know that I would every day I'd be applying my daily my cash back.
Mm-hmm.
Every day that I got cash back, I would be applying that to my credit card immediately.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Having that incrementally tiny yet, mm-hmm. you know, additive benefit on the overall interest that I'm paying.
Just one more thing to obsess over as you stare into the vast oblivion of your iPhone's display.
Yeah, apparently screen time's going to
boss me.
Screen time's going to hassle Brian from now on. You know, your screen time keeps going up. And it's just because he's staring at his credit card. Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about in aftermath was the reactions to yesterday's event specifically the back half with the TV Plus announcements. So we saw a lot of people and some Muppets, yay Big Bird, on stage. We saw Steven Spielberg, who has only been in the headlines lately because he's been talking crap about streaming and how it's stupid and how you should really be getting your tuchus to a theater and putting your hiney in a seat, because otherwise it's not a movie. But it's okay if it's, but it's okay if it's Apple. So that was kind of an odd way to kick that part off. But then we got a whole bunch of people who told us about their shows. And most of them were people who were telling us stuff that had already been reported somewhere. And I don't mean like on our site or somewhere else, on a smaller red site. Like some of it is stuff that was reported by the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or some other major publication. So lots of folks, even if they're only casual Apple followers, knew most of this information already. And we got a little bit of footage of one show, and that was about it. So there are a lot of people who were not jazzed about this, right, John?
Yeah, there was a lot of what I call petulance and whining about the nerdier aspects of what they wanted to see in this. Apple went to a lot of trouble to put on a well-produced production, having a presentation by the stars. It was interesting and made you want to watch the shows. And there were strategic issues for not discussing price right away, especially because Disney hasn't announced theirs yet, and for other competitive reasons. So I was, I have been and continue to be amused by the what I'm calling the nerd petulance. They didn't give us the pricing. They didn't show us trailers. It was too long. I was bored.
Well, I will point out that everything else that they talked about, that they talked about yesterday, had a price attached. Here's the arcade. It's this much a month. Here's News Plus. It's this much a month. Here's the credit card. And it's, you know, it's 13%. Like, they didn't say that on stage. But all of that information was available, and they didn't. And I feel like, I think part of the reason,
there must have been a reason for it, and we should think about the reasons.
Well, so when I look at it, when I look at the event as a whole, what I see, and it's not because I'm mad about it or anything, but what I see is we spent the most amount of time conveying the least amount of information about the TV Plus service. That was it.
Well, this might be the first time a lot of casual viewers and Apple customers have been exposed to these stars. Yeah, we know them because we've been talking about them for a year. But I imagine if John and Mary in Des Moines, Iowa, sit down and watch this broadcast,
which they're not going to do, but that's not the point either.
But
John,
they would never know that these stars were, it was probably a revelation to half the audience that these are the people who are Apple's involved with in their content production.
That still isn't the message. That's not the message. It's not the message. That was not the message Apple was delivering.
Okay. That's okay. I'll leave it to you to explain.
The message that Apple was delivering is that this is a product of Hollywood. This is not a product of Silicon Valley.
Sure.
Sure.
Apple was saying to the world and saying to the morning shows. I think you mentioned that in the pre-show, Kelly.
Yes, I saw a report about this on two different morning shows, and that neither one of them talked about anything except the TV service.
Yeah, and you know, guess what? Far more people watch the morning shows than read tech sites or even tech coverage from the mainstream news publications.
There you go. Yeah.
So that part of the presentation was not aimed at your typical Apple event watcher. Mm-mm. And that's okay. Like the point I made in my piece was that if you were bored by it, you probably weren't the target market.
Right.
And that's okay.
Interesting perspective. I've been thinking about that. You mentioned that to me earlier, and I'm intrigued by that analysis. I think you're onto something.
Well,
it's important. Like, because what we saw there was we didn't just see stars talking about their shows. They were actually talking about being involved with Apple. Like, what did Oprah use the phrase "join forces"?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Join forces with Apple. Steven Spielberg talked about being on the Apple platform. Some of the other
force for good.
Stars did the same thing. Now, I don't know whether or not that actually means anything, but that was the message that they were delivering. And that's not a Mac tech geek message.
I think they were echoing what Apple used to sway them or bring them into the fold. Everybody who was on stage was very positive and optimistic about what Apple was trying to bring to the game, what their investment represented, what the theme for the shows would be, that it was great storytelling and bringing community together and bringing people together and helping them see new viewpoints and understand each other. And that underlying theme of making the world a better place was transmitted to the producers and through the producers to these actors and actresses. And they're happy with that. They like that. And I think that what they came out on stage to say was, we're enthusiastic about Apple's vision for this kind of entertainment, and we're happy to be involved.
But we are Hollywood people making this content.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That message wasn't being given to us by Apple or by, Viacom's president, right? It was being delivered by the creative people who make shows and star in the shows that and movies that we like. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that message, it's like the Apple. Here's my Apple Watch analogy. People looked at the $10,000 Apple Watch edition, the gold one.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, LOL. And it was a big failure, right? Because it didn't sell anything. And sure enough, Apple canceled it after the Series Zero, right? But that wasn't the point of the Apple Watch Edition. The Apple Watch Edition was designed to say, this is jewelry. You should not judge this product from the standpoint of technology. You should judge and consider this product from the standpoint of jewelry, like you would any other watch. That was the point of Apple Watch Edition. I bet you Apple never thought it would sell either. But it absolutely and positively succeeded in redefining, I don't know which, how we should be looking at this. And, this is not just another pebble. This is not something that Samsung could never make this.
Right? In other words, your first blush reaction to anything Apple does is probably wrong because you didn't partake in the decision process that led to what Apple did.
I'm assuming you don't mean me because...
No, you're right on.
Because, I am, of course.
No, we're talking about...
of course, I am,
about critics who take a,
It's not even that. It's like the people who scoffed at Apple Watch Edition, again, they weren't the target market for that message, and that was okay.
That's right.
That was okay for people to think that was a joke. And
I can't afford it. I don't understand why it exists. Therefore, Apple made a mistake.
Yes.
Well, and there's the thing that I've said for ages, which is not for me is not the same as not for anybody, and this is another. This is another one of those things where Apple is putting Apple is creating this event and putting these people out there and having these people talk about their stuff for regular folks, not for people on podcasts, not even for people who generally listen to podcasts, but for other people, for everybody else. I mean, Oprah illustrated it pretty clearly with a billion pockets, y'all. The Apple's in a billion pockets. And when you think about it like that, that's an audience that would be hard to resist if you were a person that made things for a large audience. And that's a large audience.
I did some research. It turns out this Oprah woman, she's super popular.
I've heard she's kind of a big deal.
really? She's a big deal.
Yes. And even bigger deal, a lot of people now, I think, were not alive or aware of much television or watching a lot of television when Oprah was still on TV regularly, every 5 days a week with her show. And so, I remember we were sort of explaining yesterday, I had a couple of conversations with people who were like, why does anybody care if Oprah's on TV? And I'm like, oh, right, you were born in the 80s. You have no idea what any of this is about. So that's, I think there's, I mean... Tim Cook was starstruck. talking to Oprah. Like, I thought that was kind of great. So yeah,
it was cute.
This is one of those things where, you know, people talk about how the keynote at WWDC that we see on Monday morning, you know, that gives us sort of the preview of what's coming. Like, that keynote isn't necessarily for the people in the room. Mostly that keynote is going to be for people who are, for people who are going to report about it on network news or on morning news talk shows and things like that. And that keynote is generally, you know, the one that really matters is the one that happens in the afternoon that they give about the state of iOS and the state of macOS, which is a totally separate event and is not broadcast and is not a thing that, you know, the public gets invited to. There's not a press section at that keynote. And that's what the morning one is for. That's what people are doing. That's the thing that regular folks are going to pay attention to. People who are spectators to Apple, like, I bought an iPhone, but I'm not like part of that whole thing, or I don't listen to a bunch of podcasts on it, or, you know, like, there are a whole lot of people out there who are not avid Apple users, avid Apple watchers, avid Apple commentators or anything. So I think that makes a difference.
Avid Apple appetites.
So, we're gonna have to call it there. I can't do better than that. All right, so Brian, thanks very much for joining me today to talk about these.
Oh yeah, thanks for having us,
and we will talk about more of this tomorrow. John, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
I've been your host, Kelly Gamont, and I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.